Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. When I began this Reiki radio talk show over 4 years ago now, I had this image of the Reiki community being the people I knew, then a circle of the people that I had met or had at least been in the same room with in these Reiki student gatherings and so on that I've been privileged to be in all over the world. And then there was this kind of gray area which stretched for miles and miles in my vision that had to do with the Reiki community, we would say maybe at large. Those that I didn't have connection with, or maybe they had a connection with me, but I didn't with them, and so on. And when I began the radio talk show, I had this idea that this connection would go out, and I've been really wanting to have people talk to me about the radio show and give me feedback and, you know, suggest topics and so on. But that's not happened really very much. And at first I was puzzled by this, but then I realized that the word community to me actually meant interaction. And that I was really dependent on the interaction that came back to me more than I was dependent on the interaction that, the part of the interaction that went out from me. So in the last year or so, I've begun to realize that my idea of the Reiki community is something that my mind can't actually comprehend. And for those of you who have written an email to me and say, and oh, by the way, I listen to the radio talk show all the time, and I really love it, or I would love for you to do this, or I would like to be on it. All these connections that come back to me are like these little gems of splashes of connection that are physical. But as Ben Haggard was talking about last week, our connection as human beings and our connection in our Reiki community can be, it is so, and it is physically so. And also, it is energetically so. And there's a place for me of enlarging my understanding of community to include the energetic connection that I have with so many people that doesn't get manifested into the physical. We are really fortunate that I was able to set up another interview time with Ben Haggard. So he's back again for the second week in this series, and I'm thrilled because we weren't quite finished with our talking last time. Ben, thank you very much for being on the show again.
Thanks for having me back.
Wonderful. I just marveled at the way that you were able to take a lot of the complex images that I had in my head, for instance, about community, and put it into very simple, succinct sentences that felt like they held so much substance. I really wanted to just hear them over and over again. So I'm looking forward to this next hour with you. Great. So I'm going to tell a little story. So Ben and I, as you heard last week, have known each other for probably almost 30 years, and we've had this thread of relationship that has run through the Reiki community. And in the last year, I got a hold of Ben again through his work with Regenesis, because I had a project that was happening, and I felt like the two matched, and we have finally come together in the physical realm, in August, and it's proven to be a good match and one that is going to produce some very, I would say, magical on one hand, but also some very profound effects for, I believe, the whole of the Reiki community, both the community that I know and the community that's out there and I don't know. So then, could you just review for us very briefly your work in Regenesis? Because I think that that's important to have as a kind of foundation to go from this week.
Sure. So Regenesis was formed to help people and help communities come into a better, healthier, and more regenerative relationship to living systems, the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out doing that site by site, where we were working on specific projects, campuses, monasteries, development projects, schools, whatever. And as we learned more and more about what it is that we'd set out to do, we began to extend our work more and more into communities, working with neighborhoods and cities and so on. And the idea is to awaken for people an understanding of how the place they inhabit is actually a living system with its own essence, its own soul, its own character, its own way of being. And help them understand that well enough to be able to harmonize with it. Mm-hmm. So it's quite different from conventional environmental work or even conventional restoration work, which tends to be about either protecting the planet from human activity, in other words, seeing human beings and the planet as separate, or about fixing something that's perceived as a problem and putting it back in a condition that we believe it should be in. Regeneration, at least from the Regenesis point of view, has to do with creating a harmonious relationship that can extend out into the future, where both the people in a place and the living systems, the landscape, the animals, the plant communities, and so on, are all evolving together. So that's basically what we work on. In the process, of course, we do help heal many of the problems that have been created by the industrial world. But that our focus is not to fix problems. Our focus is to discover potential for the future.
Great. Beautiful. So I'd just like to take 5 minutes of silence, but that's not done on the radio, so we won't do that. But for those of you who have felt touched by this description of Ben's work these days, I was touched by this in the very beginning when I met him some 30 years ago, and have been tracking my own progress and not Ben's. And so to be able to talk with Ben about what he's doing now in the present, and marrying that to what I've been doing in the past year, has been a really profound gift for me. And I'd like to share that with you listeners. Throughout the time that I've been involved in Reiki, and from about 1986, to be clear, I met a man by the name of John Wallace, who had a beautiful piece of property near Santa Fe. And though the Reiki community spent a lot of time on this property, and then he decided to sell it. And we were offered the possibility to buy the land, which at that point was a deal. But we couldn't see our way into the benefit of what that would be. Like, it would be a benefit for us individually, but we didn't have and this is from hindsight, we didn't have an understanding about the benefits that would extend through our lives because of the practice of Reiki and of Usui Shiki Ryoho. And we had no idea about what would happen in the next 25 years or so. So through the years, these kind of ideas have kind of risen to the surface of my consciousness and gone back down again. And there have been several places on the planet that people have, we've gone to look at creating some kind of physical Reiki community. Excuse me. However, when I moved to Arizona, one of the things that happened just before I moved here was I ended up going out and visiting a workshop venue around here for one of the board meetings that I was involved with. And the name of the place is called Kenyon Ranch. And when I stepped on this land, I thought, it's going to be a great place to work, and I'm glad I don't have to own it. 2 years later, in 2009, the owners put the ranch up for sale, and it hasn't been a reasonable, sincere offer of purchase yet, and it's been 2 years now. And in the meantime, the Reiki community that I'm involved with physically and energetically, very close to, decided that it was time to have something called the Reiki Home. And at first, we saw this being a kind of place where people could come and receive teaching from me and from other sort of senior members of the Reiki community that we know of, that we could do our workshops in one place, that we would be able to have student gatherings and so on. And also that we would be able to offer a venue for other spiritual practices that would include the energy of Reiki, in that the land would be owned by the Reiki community, the employees and the people that work there and the people that cook there would all have Reiki and so on, so that the whole essence of what was happening at the ranch would be imbued with Reiki. This particular fairly simplistic idea has matured into a really amazing vision, which is very difficult for me to explain on the radio and extremely difficult for me to even articulate. But one of the pieces that allows us to expand into an even greater place for me and the greater vision has to do with the marrying or the partnership of the Regenesis group with this project, because they've taken it from being about us to being about the world. And it allows me to realize my own conviction that the practice of Reiki has a real benefit, or perhaps a number of benefits, that it has to offer our global society, the earth as a living entity, and also just our whole universal understanding about who we are as human beings. So we've had the very beginning of the meetings between the Regenesis group and the Reiki Home group that's holding the vision very tightly right now, because because we can't articulate it. So until we can articulate it clearly, it's not time to be really birthed. So this is the first real time where the public has gotten a little bit of a taste or a little bit of an idea about what's cooking over here. So Ben, I'm just wondering if you can help me out here with a little bit more of a description or more of an articulation of what we're aiming for.
Okay. So I'll give you my current impression, and obviously this is going to evolve and improve through time, but What Definitely. I carried away from the conversation, I carried a couple of things. One is that, like so much of the land in, here in the Southwest in the United States, really bad land management practices, grazing and logging and burning and so on, have reduced what was once a very rich and very productive grasslands to a desert. And that's as true for the site there in Tubac as it is almost everywhere here in the Western United States. And so there is a crying need for human beings to really understand the landscape they're living in and help it restore its potential to support life, because a lot of its potential to support life has been lost. So this is a mission I've been on for many years, as you know. So when we looked at the site there that you guys are considering for Reiki Home, mm-hmm. we could see that there's really a great deal of potential to harness the water that runs off of the buildings and the land, and use it to help regrow the trees and the springs and rivers and the grasslands that used to be there. So that is a way of seeing the site as part of a whole living system called the Sonoran Desert, and seeing that this site could contribute to learning and understanding and participating in bringing that beautiful place back to life. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is what do you mean by a Reiki home? And I look at the idea, obviously the home of Reiki is in the heart of every practitioner of Reiki. That's home, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so one of the things that we need to understand is that this center is serving that home. It is a home in that it's a place where people can come, and it's a repository for learning and texts and documents and so on. But it's also really in service to the true home of Reiki, which is in its practitioners, this global network of caring people. But each one of those practitioners also has a home, a place that they live on the planet, a place that is as in desperate need of caring attention as this piece of the Sonoran Desert. And so one of the things that we began to describe is how do we begin to learn and demonstrate the role that Reiki has to play in the healing of a stressed planet and stressed human populations all over the world. Mm-hmm. So the real work of the Reiki home is in the home communities of every Reiki practitioner around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I'm holding it. And that what's important about that is that in order to see in ecological terms, in systemic terms,
mm-hmm.
it's important to understand how each living entity that we're looking at, for example, this Reiki Center, this Reiki home in Arizona, how it is part of something larger than itself. Because what regeneration means, at least in terms of how I use it, is being able to discover a new role in the larger world or system that I'm part of that helps it evolve, helps it realize more of its potential.
Mm-hmm.
So I regenerate myself when I discover for myself a new and more meaningful role in the world than I played before. And that new meaningful role has to do with helping the world that I'm part of become more of what it could be. That's what regeneration means. So when I look at a site in Arizona, I'm looking at how does this little piece of land, this little ranch with the retreat center on it, play a role, a new role in its community, in its neighborhood, that helps bring back the life of the grasslands, the life of the rivers, the life of the mountains that surround it. And in the same way, I look at what is the new role that Reiki could discover for itself in the world, in a world that is changing very dramatically and that really needs the support and assistance that the Reiki community could bring to it.
Right. Well, it brings me back to these two definitions of healing that we mentioned at the end of the last program, which I actually got from you. And that is that healing can mean fixing something that's broken as a kind of general term, or it can also mean allowing the potential of wholeness to be nurtured. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like at the ranch, one of the things that is so exciting for me is that I can see both outside myself and inside myself the unlimited potential to do both, to have the satisfaction of fixing something, and we use these terms very lightly, fixing something that's been broken, and at the same time allowing the wholeness of the situation to come together. So part of the wholeness for me is also allowing Reiki students to have a place where they can come and learn how to really be a collaborator with the earth rather than just being on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the little pieces that I see that this Reiki home will provide for any practitioner who wants to come and to be able to live for a week or a month in this place to receive teaching and to become more connected with the energetic of Reiki through this human lineage, and at the same time understand more about their own lineage in relationship to the earth. I think that's what I want to say.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
Well, let me share with, I don't know if you had this conversation with Kate Tyrion when she was there with you a couple weeks ago, but Kate is, of course, a colleague of mine, and she's lived in your neighborhood for many, many years.
Right.
You guys are in the upper watershed of the Santa Cruz River. And one of the insights that she had about that watershed is that it is an extraordinarily rich place for people to come and practice apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's a very high level of skills and arts and disciplines that are practiced in that region that require one-on-one mentorship-style learning. And so she's realizing that in a way, the whole region is a kind of campus or university without walls,
mm-hmm.
where people could practice a completely different nature of learning that's really grows out of what's unique about that place and what that place uniquely has to offer. And when she described that, I thought how beautifully harmonious that was with what it is that you were talking about doing with the Reiki community, because obviously Reiki is taught that way.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's almost a kind of darshan. It's a tradition that's passed on from directly from teacher to student.
Yes.
And so it's very, very consonant with what Kate is realizing is the nature of that watershed and what that watershed uniquely has to offer. So this is a kind of an example of what I mean by potential, right? Sure, it's a watershed that has problems. There are pockets of poverty. There are issues with mining and pollution and this, that, and the other thing. But what's really exciting about this place is what it could be in terms of offering this unique educational opportunity into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you all could be a full player in helping it do that.
Yes, well, I intend to be that player, and or be one of the players anyway. And the other, so this, there are several themes for me about the Reiki home. So one of it is is about this theme of regenerating our connection, our real and physical and energetic connection with the earth, and understanding and changing our own perspective of how we see ourselves as human beings in relationship to the earth and other natural things, which I feel like without the 30 years of practicing Reiki, I could never come to this place. So for me, this is my next step in my Reiki practice. And I have to assume that it is also the calling of other Reiki students who have practiced maybe not even for 30 years, but for 5 years, or maybe even they came to Reiki with this particular calling. I don't know, but this is a place where we can live it. And then I would see that these people who come and visit the ranch and participate in these programs would go back out to their own local community and begin to spread this connection that is being grown and nurtured with the earth to their local community. So that's one thread. The other thread for me is about establishing an enduring legacy for Reiki itself. I mean, for me, the practice that I teach is what I would call a heritage seed kind of practice. It doesn't mean that it's better than anything else, or that it, you know, has more of the truth, because what is the truth anyway? Each of us carries our own truth inside of us as a result of the experiences we've had with Reiki and with our Reiki practice. So for me, this is a part where we can come together and condense some of the teaching and some of the practice and some of the energetic so that it can be then sent out through people and also through through other kinds of communication systems, and also just through the airwaves, so to speak, of the energetic connection that all of us have to one another and to the earth. So this legacy for me of Reiki feels like it needs a place to root and to become stable. Somebody once said that we're like a tribe, a nomadic tribe that has kind of worked its way around the earth, and now what we want is to settle. And we all know that sometimes this piece of development of settling has actually created more damage to the earth than our nomadic kind of wandering. But we're hoping to change that pattern and allow our settling on the earth to become regenerative rather than something else. So this, you know, all of these things, all of these themes tie together, and that's why it's really hard to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I love that image of settling, that in a way this is a place to learn about settling. But ideally, that regenerative process of settling, the kind of settling that increases the potential for life in a place, is happening in every community that Reiki is being practiced in.
Okay, can you say that again?
Well, I'm always cognizant of dual meanings in what
right.
we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, we're talking about the Reiki community as a whole, however big that turns out to be, choosing a place, a single place, to settle itself, to put down some roots so that it has the potential of growing and extending and passing along this heritage. At the same time, it's not about everybody in the world coming to Tubac, Arizona.
Right.
It's about, it's about launching a kind of new... a new phase in the emergence and maturing process of Reiki as a phenomenon in the world, so that that putting down of roots is happening in every community where Reiki is practiced. And in every community where it's being practiced, it really is a regenerative force. It's not a destructive force. It's not an unconscious force. It's consciously engaged in bringing human beings into harmony with this planet.
Which for me is the very fundamental principle of Reiki, of the practice of Reiki.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's why we're such natural allies.
Right.
We're holding somewhat different perspectives, but they're really, really they're synergistic. They're complementary. They actually. It's one of the reasons I'm so excited by this project. It feels to me like a subtle but profound shift in the outlook of a very important community.
Right. Well, I agree with you. And, you know, back in the early days, I just saw Reiki as a way, as an individual, I saw the Reiki practice from my own eyes, which meant that for the first 10 or 15 years, my whole practice of Reiki, everything that happened, my teaching, my treatments, the treatments that I received, the treatments that I gave, the conversations that I had, and so on, all of this was going to actually reconstruct myself in my own way of being on the planet and my way of being as a human being. And so it became very inward, and in some way it's this lovely French woman in August said, you know, we just have spent all these decades looking at our navels. And I really got the feeling of that, you know, of just being inward, of looking always, you know, not selfishly in the sense of, you know, give me, give me, give me, but selfishly in the sense of knowing that I had to become more whole in order for something more whole to come out of me. And I feel like I'm to a place where I can start raising my head up, and instead of looking down at my navel, I can look out to the horizon. And what I see is that there is the obvious benefit of laying hands on and transmitting energy, you know, channeling or transmitting the energy, whatever the word is you want to use, into the earth or into trees or into people and changing their lives. But there is something that is more, not more significant, but there's something that's subtle and pervasive and that includes this obvious healing process and yet takes it to a whole nother level of not just action, but also influence. And I don't mean this to say that we will be influential, i.e. like in the political scene, but I would like to imagine, or my feeling is, that the influence is about each of us becoming more and more an authentic human being, and that will shift the way things are done on the planet. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a distinction that we use that's helpful for eliminating what you're talking about.
Okay.
We talk about the difference between self-actualization and uh-huh. system actualization.
Oh.
So the navel gazing that you were describing is really a process of trying to actualize oneself, to actually
right.
bring a whole and healthy and productive and contributing self into being, right?
Right, exactly.
System actualizing is really about, what do I serve? What am I part of? What's larger than me that my life is dedicated to manifesting? And what a lot of people have begun to realize is that you can't have one without the other, right? You can't actualize a system without developing yourself. And you can't actually develop yourself unless you're serving something larger than yourself. And so the two are a necessary pairing. And that's, I think, what you're talking about is, you know, how do we begin to expand our definition of Reiki to recognize that all along it really has come from and really is intended to serve something larger than itself.
Right.
And how do we become increasingly explicit and skillful about that?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, it's been very interesting because, you know, through my whole kind of lifetime in Reiki, there has been this interesting background thing that's been going on. And in the late 1980s and early 1990s, there was this whole movement of Reiki that's been outside of this particular practice that was about making Reiki available, making Reiki, the practice of Reiki, not just available, but to, as in kind of a missionary kind of energy, you know, spread it to as many people as possible, as fast as possible. And it always felt a little bit too much for me. You know, it wasn't that I didn't agree with the basic premise, but I was always, you know, as a kind of old aging hippie and rebel in myself personally, to be known for the last 25 years as being conservative in the Reiki community has been really a total paradox for me and something that I've had to deal with in my therapy sessions. So I became this conservative and saying, you know, let's look inside of us. Let's really find out what we have in our hands and then go out. And I find that it's really interesting to be in this place right now without having actually asked for it consciously, to be a part of this movement where Reiki becomes more outward looking and that we ask the question, how may I serve?
Mm-hmm. Well, in a way, each of you is an instrument for this energy that's more whole than any one of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, you're going to get different perspectives and sort of conservative and revolutionary and this kind of force and that. It's good. It's a very good, healthy sign.
Yes, I think so. And I like, I've been, you know, I've gone through my own personal personality piece with this. I've gone through my own sort of Reiki practitioner piece with this, and I've gone through my own master, Reiki master piece with this, and I've come out the other end really having much more trust and actually enthusiasm for seeing the places in the circle filled. So there are circles in my community, like I was talking about last week, about being sure that there are friends that I have that don't have Reiki, being sure that there are friends of mine who, you know, feed my skiing enthusiasm, feed my books, feed my Regenesis piece, feed my this and that, so that I have this circle of friends. I don't get to be a monotone, hopefully. And in the Reiki community, I just see that there's a lot of richness. There is richness and completeness in the way that all the different perspectives have grown up in relationship to this particular practice, which was the one that we could say fostered a lot of the other different forms of Reiki now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you're alluding to, Phyllis, is a subtle and very important dimension of the work that Regenesis is trying to do. And that is that the way one achieves reconciliation among different paths, different perspectives and viewpoints,
uh-huh,
that can at times seem at odds or in conflict,
mm-hmm,
is to adopt a perspective, a higher perspective, or a more encompassing global perspective that allows one to see that those different viewpoints are actually part of some larger purpose.
Right.
And so the trick in order to become regenerative is to discover what that what is the larger collective purpose of Reiki that everyone from all their different perspectives can see commonality or community in, right? The thing that immediately is so much more important and so much more compelling than sort of my own little narrow view of things that I'm willing to set my narrowness aside in order to participate. And it's not that you want the differentiation to go away. That's your circle image, right? You want people to have different perspectives, but you want them to be bringing those perspectives towards a larger purpose that allows everyone to work together.
Right.
And it seems like that's a moment that is starting to emerge now in the conversation about Reiki.
Right. Well, that is so exciting for me because, because for obvious reasons. And I love the way that you described it. It reminded me of, I started going to Europe in 1983 or 84, I think. And through all of my multiple trips a year in and out of the European countries, and I loved that because each country had its own currency, it had its own personality, it had its own way of driving, their own way of parking a car, which was always so amazing to me, their own way of seeing Reiki and their own issues that would come up. And then the interrelationship of all these countries as entities really fascinated me. And I was really, standing as an American when the euro was introduced, and all these different currencies all of a sudden became one. And to see what ended up being reflected then into sort of the global Euro farming community, which meant that, the Dutch would produce this vegetable and the French would produce this vegetable and the Spanish would produce this vegetable, and the farmers were not happy about this. And I don't know whether that's worked well. I'm not that caught up with how the European community is actually developed and where it is today. But I know that in the light of seeing the currency and the monetary conditioning that each of the different countries had, bringing that together, there was a lot of sadness in me because I felt there might be a lack of richness. And at the same time, it also, the euro also spoke to the obvious commonality that the countries of the European community had and had been living with for, thousands of years. Well, it's just a very interesting thing, like this question of form and essence. How do you create this balance between oneness and the different perspectives? So that's a very interesting topic for me.
I think it's the central, it's that tension between kind of the unitive impulse and the impulse to differentiate. That tension is the core thing that we always have to maintain consciousness about in every part of our lives, everything from our relationship to our kids or our parents, to our relationship with partners, the way we work together in organizations or communities, the way we are a community in the community of communities, and so on. It never goes away, and it is... And the kind of seesawing back and forth between trying to make it all the same,
right,
so that you can get a hamburger from McDonald's anywhere in the world, to kind of tribalism and, you know, and xenophobia, and so putting a boundary and insisting on one's difference, you know, it's a crazy dynamic. And I think that for me, the way it gets resolved is through what you refer to as essence, right? Is that that every community, every individual on the planet, every community on the planet, every landscape on the planet is unique. It has its own essence, right? And so we have to be able to work together from those different essences, right? And come to appreciate and respect and have love for and nurture the differences as we work together on something common.
Right.
That's the next set of skills that we as the human community need to develop. It's absolutely critical. And there are a lot of skills that go with it that have to do with encouraging people to have their own inner sense of authority, right?
Right.
Their own inner sense of what's right and wrong, and to cultivate that, and to cultivate an understanding of who they are and how that's part, and at the same time, how that's part of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, it's been really amazing, because this started out to be a kind of, you know, the Reiki Home started out really specifically about this practice, the Suishiki Ryoho. And, you know, this is a part of the vision. However, the more and more we have sat with it, which has been a calendar year now, about 12 months, and we haven't just sat on our bottoms, let me tell you. There's been a lot of movement and a lot of growth and a lot of learning. But what we're all coming to is how much this encompasses the whole of the Reiki community. For the listeners, when you think about Reiki community, whatever that means to you, that's what is included. And it's very interesting to not have this in our decision-making part, in the sense that we didn't just sit around the table and decide, okay, we're going to include everybody. It's just that's the way it has to be. It's like that's the energy that's coming in. So I have always felt in the last year totally guided by the energy of Reiki, not by any practice, but by the energy of Reiki and by the ability for all of us to listen, and I use that word with an all-encompassing kind of feeling, to listen to the voice of Reiki and what it is telling us. This isn't about channeling, and it's not about being holders of the truth. It's about following a path. When I went to a memorial service for my grandmother in Hilo, Hawaii, in 1982, the reverend in the Buddhist church, who knew my grandmother very well and knew of her work in Reiki, said that for him, Reiki was like a light, and it wasn't a light that he held, and like a flashlight that lit the way through the dark forest from him, but it was somebody, like as if somebody were walking backwards on the path and holding the light and shining it so that I would just follow it like cookie crumbs through the dark forest. And I just love that image, and that's what I feel like we've been doing over the last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's surrendering my will for thy will.
Right. And it's been an amazing and very rewarding endeavor. And our collaboration with the Regenesis team has been one of the more, I don't know, I think it's inspiring because you all have language and a different perspective, so you can see what we're doing. And we aren't quite at the the consciousness of being able to step outside of ourselves and putting it into a more universalistic kind of images. I think that's how I could say it.
Yeah, we work across enough different kinds of communities that we're able to begin to see patterns.
Uh-huh.
And the patterns can be really helpful in terms of understanding what's going on and where you are and how it fits. And,
right.
You know, sort of getting up out of the specific details and understanding, this is a part of a coherent pattern.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we're just about out of time, if you can believe it. This hour just whizzes by. And, you know, community is very important. I was in the photography studio today, and they had these books of photographic essays, I would say. And I really wanted to buy this book, but I didn't have time and energy to do it today. But the foreword of this one book about communities was so beautiful. The photographer who put this essay together was talking about his own experience of community and how vital it was that in our local communities, like our family community, our neighborhood community, our environmental community, our city or our, you know, larger geographic communities, our country communities, and our global communities, that somehow we remain sort of multi-community members. And that was the point of his essay. And I just, the book was just beautiful. It was really great. And I see that this is something, this kind of an image that I hold also, not just for the Reiki home, but for our Reiki practice in general.
Yeah, this is kind of a side note to what you were just saying. That for me, I always understand community in terms of something that holds or knits together all of its different elements.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so whenever I use the word, or generally when I use the word, I'm referring to communities of place. And those communities always include all the living members of that place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit like, for example, an indigenous or Native American perspective, that we are brothers and sisters to the plants and the animals and the soil, bacteria, and all of it taken together is the community. And this is, for me, one of the things that we're all having to relearn with regard to what it means to be a member of a community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How do I actually be an appropriate sibling to the hummingbirds?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question to end with. Thank you very much, Ben, for your your wisdom, and your articulation.
Well, it's certainly fun to hang out with you and talk.
Well, thanks. And you listeners, I'm still waiting. There's still a Facebook page, and there's an email address for you to add your comment to this particular discussion. And I know you're out there. I can feel you. So thank you for being there. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.